Please turn with me to this morning. Two places we're going to be reading. First of all, in Genesis chapter 18, and then in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 18. We were singing in that hymn, the offering hymn. In the fourth verse, it says, He gives me overcoming power and triumph in each trying hour. And those words will be appropriate as we are thinking about this message this morning, because we are all facing the issue of needing overcoming power by the grace of God and in our life to live in this very confusing time, and a time of uncertainty, a time when, well, it seems there are many, many issues that would overcome the child of God. What are we to do? Well, we must depend upon the Lord who is there for us in every time of our need. Even in the times when faith is challenged, faith is unstable, where do we turn? Well, believer, today listen closely as we read in this portion. Genesis chapter 18, we're reading the first 14-15 verses. And the Lord appeared unto him, Abram, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, thou didst laugh. Turning over, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Lord, we give thanks for thy presence with us this morning. We come, Lord, now to the Word. We have the Scripture open. Our prayer is, Lord, to open our hearts. Take away coldness and, Lord, we have to say often, deadness. Take away the distractions that come upon a sacred time. And as we are around the Word now, O Lord, come, I pray, and open my heart. Help me to speak the Word of the Lord clearly and plainly. Lord, I ask that everyone gathered in this house today would step out in faith and would take this Word to heart. Lord, help me, I pray, to speak this Word plainly. Help everyone to hear and receive it with the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I stand this morning in need. I cannot do the work of the Lord in the power of the flesh, for we know it will all come to nothing, no avail. So, Lord, today we pray for help. We pray for grace. Pray, O God, for the power of the Holy Spirit to work inside each one of us. Lord, there may well be those here today who are not saved. Work in their hearts, Lord, and bring them to faith in Christ Jesus. And Father, for those of us here who truly are Christians, but Lord, we need a touch this morning. We need a word. Come to us now, we pray, and strengthen every heart. Lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. And Lord, give to us that which we cannot do ourselves, the strength and power necessary to walk in a holy spiritual walk. Lord, be with us now today, we pray. In Jesus' worthy name we ask. Amen. Primarily, verse 11 of Hebrews 11, want to speak to you about this morning and think about, but of course it's going to be taken also from the context of Genesis chapter 18. Some of you may have seen one of these reality television shows to do with Yukon Roads. Well, it has to do with these monstrous tow trucks and the responsibility they have of recovering tractor trailers or logging trucks that have gone off the road in the slippery conditions way up north, and they have turned over and they have spilled their load, and now it's a massive cleanup operation. And these big tow trucks, they have got the responsibility of hooking onto them somehow and recovering them back upright and getting the load and helping to recover those situations that have gone very much astray. In many respects, that's the subject that we're talking about today. It's called the recovery of faith. And what this looks like in the life of this lady, Sarah. We know that Hebrews 11, well, it gives us an insight into what faith in God really looks like. It's not couched in theological terms. It's not set out in very legal language at all. It's very straight. It's to the point. And that's good for us because it helps us to see exactly what the Lord is talking about. You know, as we examine the lives of these heroes of faith, we all can be very much encouraged for our own daily Christian walk. The reason, because the people mentioned here are, for the most part, well, they're just ordinary characters like you and me. And when we see their lives and we see what the Lord did through them, God places them here in this account so that I can be encouraged, so that you can be strengthened, so that we will be challenged not to think that we are alone on our Christian journey and walk, and not to think that things that happen to us and things that challenge our walk and our faith, that they are just anomalies, something that sticks out of place in our life. No, friend. It's for us today. It's for us here and now. And we must realize that as we have faith in Christ and that we are to walk in Him for our daily life, the Lord has a word for us. He's got something that will enable us to get through and to go forward. Of all the Old Testament people that you would think of to be found in Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, well, Sarah might not be one of them. And she might not be one of them for the very reason we have read from Genesis chapter 18. And so, when we find her here, it is a little unusual. Sarah did not slay any giants. She did not suffer any real persecution, as we have recorded. She didn't lead any armies like Deborah did. She didn't endure prison time. On the contrary, some of her actions and some of the advice that she gave was, well, we could say questionable. And this, she is to us a very ordinary person. And in this part, I like her. And I think that most of us can see ourselves perhaps more in the position of Sarah than we could in the position of Abraham. Because Abraham is a guy who, when you see him and is presented to us, this man of faith, a man who, according to Paul in Romans 4, did not stagger at the promise of God. And when we come to face the issues of our day, we think to ourselves, my, I've staggered many times. I found myself in much uncertainty. And I'm not worthy to take the shoes from Abram. No, but Sarah, now I can see this one. I can understand where this person is coming from. And I believe that's the very reason why God has placed her in this chapter 11, this chapter of faith, because she resonates with us. And we can understand where Sarah was standing. And yet the Lord places her here as will be a help for us. But you know, in that, having said that, it does not mean that we should be content at all with a weakness in our own faith. We cannot be content with some kind of mediocrity and say, well, it was good for Sarah, I'm glad for that, and now I don't have to worry too much myself, I can just go down that road too. No, friend, that's not the lesson that we are to draw from this. For these things were written for our learning. God has placed them in His Word so that we might shun spiritual laziness, and that we might put on that which is the right way, that we can step out in faith, that we will stretch out in faith, that we will study hard in faith, and that we will stand for the Lord by faith in our time. Because God has raised us up as believers, as followers of Him in our time. And He has done that for a purpose. And so, to borrow from another term, carpe diem fide. Let us seize the day of faith. And let us make today a day of faith for us. Let us hold on to what God has given to us in our time. And so we're thinking about Sarah and the recovery of her faith. And we know there is hope to overcome because Sarah failed in her faith. And there is hope for us because we saw that she overcame through the grace of God. And she has overcome, and the Lord Jesus Christ enabled her to be that overcomer. And friends, He enables us to be overcomers in our time. And I'm happy about that. That gives joy in my heart. It gives me a sense of, wow, the Lord's not finished with me. I'm good with that. I'm happy about that. But we have to look at some of the realities here. And the first thing is this, the weakness of faith. Please turn back to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18 and verse 12, we are told this account that Sarah, she laughed. Sarah laughed in unbelief. She laughed in her doubt at the word that was given to her. What's this all about? Well, we've read the context already. Three visitors came to Abram's tent. One of them was the Lord. Very clear in the context. For example, in verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, the Lord was talking to Abraham. This is a most unusual situation. These three strangers, if you like, they appeared out of nowhere and they came to where Abraham's tent was with all his family. And as Abram saw them coming, he knew that there was something unusual about this visitation. And so Abram, he ran to meet them and he fell down before them to worship. This was unlike anything Abram had ever done before, and unlike any welcome that would be given to strangers coming. Yes, hospitality is good. We are supposed to be hospitable. But this was something more, because Abram knew that these were visitors from heaven, and two of them were angels, because they, after departing in the context of this story, the Lord stayed by Abraham, but the two of them went on towards Sodom and they met with Lot. And that story and that account, well, it tells us what transpired in Lot's home. But this one of these three, the Lord Jesus Christ, in an appearance before Bethlehem, an appearance of the Savior, the Son of God, an unusual time, but very clearly and without any doubt, the Lord was there speaking with Abraham, His servant. And why did the Lord come at this occasion? Because He had a most significant message He was going to deliver. Most significant message that the promised child, the one that had been told to Abram some years before when Abram was a younger man, and in all reasonableness, when he could have had a son of his own through Sarah, his wife. And so that promise that was given to Abram in vision time years before, now God is coming in person to speak this word to His servant. These messengers from heaven, as they brought this word to Abraham, it was significant when, and before he said this word, he said, "Where is Sarah, my wife?" And Abram said, "Well, I mean, she's in the tent. She was making preparation, doing cleanup duties," but they knew that Sarah was within hearing of the word that they were about to bring. Look at that word, verse 11. Verse 10 first, and he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Verse 11 makes it very clear to us that what was happening here was now something beyond biology, beyond nature, the natural process of time. And in a very discreet way, the Scripture records for us that it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now we know that because of her age, she's now 90 years of age. So how many years had passed since Sarah had been in the process of the ability to be with child, to become pregnant? We don't know. But this is recorded for us to tell us plainly that what had transpired in her life was the process of years, and the aging had taken place. And the hope that was in Sarah's heart from many years ago, when the promise had first been given to Abram that she would have a son, had hope left her by now? I would say to you, hope had departed that she would ever have a son. It had gone from her. And those obvious natural reasons made it for her now an impossibility to have a child. It was beyond human hope, beyond reason. By this time, Sarah had already so determined the impossibility of this that she had given her handmaid Hagar to her husband for a child. So that in her mind, her thinking, I will have this promised child, but because I cannot have it myself physically, I am not able, I will take things into my own accounting. I will help the Lord in this promise. I will give Hagar to my husband. I will have a child through her, and therefore I will be happy. But how devastated she was when she took that step. And how it never fulfilled that promise, because there was envy and jealousy and bitterness that came up, and so much so that she spurned Hagar and the child, Ishmael, that she had. And there was great bitterness in the place of joy for that activity and action that she did. So we can understand a little bit more now, maybe. When Sarah is in this situation, she is within earshot of these three messengers that came, and they say to her, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And so she laughs in her heart, not even out loud. She laughed into herself. Huh, I will have a son? A likely thing. Huh. Do these guys not know that have come that it's been away from me for years, the way of a woman? I cannot even conceive seed now. They must not know much about biology. They must not know much about things of women. I'm past that now. And so she laughs, thinking that such a thing could not take place. Well, what would you do? If you're a woman, what would you do? Now, men, how could you enter into a situation like this? Well, you could imagine some similar situation whereby it would be impossible for you, presented with such a scenario. Would your faith be strong, or would your faith be weak? I would say to you, as I would try to put myself in that situation, I would be right where Sarah was. My faith would not be strong. I would doubt. I am sure I would doubt such a thing apart from the Lord's grace, because faith is not so hard when things seem reasonable. Have you found that in your Christian life? Yeah, when it's on the surface and it seems that it's going to be a reasonable thing to accomplish, yeah, faith, you can step out on that one, okay. But that's actually not strong faith. Because real faith is resting and walking and progressing when you cannot see the way naturally forward. When everything else around you is saying, no, 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 it's impossible. But faith is trusting and resting upon the Word of God. And when we are able to do that, friend, by the grace of the Lord, then things are different. When we can see how a problem can be solved, then we can believe. But when we cannot see how a problem can be solved, that's exactly what walking by faith with the Lord is all about. That's what it means. You know, friend, true faith in Christ will only be proved when the outcome is beyond human reason. That's when faith will really be engaged. That's when faith comes to the surface and can be proved as true faith. When we receive something and we believe based upon God's Word, and it's beyond reason, beyond what we can see with the natural eye, and what we can really comprehend fully with the natural understanding. Because true faith grows in power when we take God and His Word and we obey Him. Yes, obedience and submission to the way of God is the evidence that faith is flourishing and it is active. But what had happened in Sarah's life? She looked at herself. She saw the impossibility of what was said, and then she said, it cannot be. Even though God was promising her the very thing, and yet she staggered. She stumbled. You know, weak faith is a real plague for Christians. It's like a high fever that indicates sickness. It is like malnourishment that is brought on by some eating disorder. It's a spiritual lack of food. And the outcome is that we become very sickly in our spiritual walk. Because if our faith is not strong, then our spiritual walk will not be strong. If our faith is weak, then we are in danger of going down the pathway of error. We are in danger of capitulating or giving in to the devil more readily. Oh, friend, weak faith, you see, is compounded by lying. Sarah denied that she laughed. This is not uncommon, is it? Because once we stumble and fall in one area of obedience to the Lord and walking in faith, then we're more prone to stumble in another area. And it's not uncommon at all when confronted for not living up to a perceived standard. We have a Christian standard, right? And when we don't live up to that, well, the tendency would be for us immediately when we're confronted by that would be to say, well, no, I'm okay, I'm good with me. I didn't do that. I never said that. I wouldn't think such a foolish thing. When in essence, maybe we have done all those things and we're guilty before God. Because when we question the Lord's Word, and it starts there, and our faith is challenged then, well, friend, it's no surprise to us. What will the next step be? And maybe we will enter into lying or deceiving or some other sin. You see, it's not just the first thing. It goes from there on. And we will grieve the Spirit of God. And perhaps it's all accounted by keeping up appearances. We want to look good. We want to look right. It can be a problem. You know, I'm sure that Sarah was a faithful wife to Abram. And I would only imagine that she lived in godly reverence. There's no indication that she was riotous or she was a rebellious woman at all. That's the last thing that she would have wanted would be to embarrass her husband Abraham, thinking that she was not up to the mark. You know, that affects us, doesn't it? It affects us when we become concerned if we are not living up to the mark of what people expect us to be. And that can be a difficulty. But friends, let us put those things out of our mind and concentrate on living up to what the Lord requires of us to be and to follow Him through His Word. And as we are walking in fellowship with Him, in close communion with the Lord, then those things of what other people think will be secondary or third. And the most important thing for us is going to be, what does the Lord think about me? What does He, and how does He assess my spiritual walk with Him? You see, on top of that, it was not a spoken denial that Sarah did, but it was something that she thought in her heart. Who could know? Like, Sarah, she could deny that she's, but who would know that she was thinking this thought and doubting or laughing in her heart? Oh, friends, the Lord knew. That's who. And the Lord knows every thought of our hearts. He knows right now where your thoughts are. Are your thoughts on the Word of God? Are your thoughts focused upon what we're dwelling with today? Or are your thoughts somewhere else? Drifting away, maybe? Could be a fearful thing. Maybe your thoughts are in some sinful thing. Some lustful thing. Oh, let us bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let us rest upon Him and draw our power from the Lord Jesus to know that it's only through the cross work of Christ that we can draw our power, our strength, to be able to live for Him. You know, believer, all these things indicate in Sarah's life weak faith. And they indicate for us the same thing in our lives. I wonder if are we stuck today in that swamp? Are we stuck in that quicksand of doubt and despair? Oh, friend, don't stay there. Don't abide in that place. If so happened you have fallen into that pit. Oh, cry out to the Lord, and don't stop crying out to Him for the Savior to rescue you and lift you up. Just as Peter, who stepped out in faith on the water and walked, but soon fell down as he looked around him and he saw the turbulent waters, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Cry that prayer today. Lord, rescue me. Save me from my weak faith. Save me from myself. For I have no might and no power. Sarah's faith then not only was weak in this sense, but it was also challenged faith, because we find that the Lord said to Abram and to her, is anything too hard for the Lord? Her faith was challenged by not only the promise that God gave initially, you will have a son, but then the challenge comes even further. You have doubted my word, child. Believer, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? In answer to the reasonable doubt that Sarah had, and I say it was a reasonable doubt for all the reasons we already mentioned, she was past age. It was impossible. It's not going to happen. I mean, Sarah and Abram had not been together in conjugal relations by the very word that Sarah had spoken there. And so all these things added up to being an impossibility. And yet, the Lord says to her, is anything too hard for the Lord? This message about Sarah having a child was not spoken to her. She overheard it in the tent. And you could still imagine her thinking, me have a child now. I've long given up the idea. Forever, I don't know how this will happen. now body old and weak. You know, but it was exactly to this place that Sarah was brought. She was brought and her faith was going to be challenged right at the place where she thought being an impossibility. And friends, that's where the Lord will bring us in our lives. Not to the thing that we find is easy or acceptable or I can receive this from the Lord. God will challenge our faith right at the point where we are maybe the weakest in human understanding and belief. Because He wants us to rest on Him. He wants us to take Him at His word. He wants us to rely upon Him. The huge challenge to her faith was that she will have a child when she believed she could not have a child. But it's exactly that place where the Lord took her. And you know, friend, what is your impossibility today? What is the situation that you think to yourselves, it has not been? I have called out to the Lord on this matter time and time again. It's now an impossibility for me. I've given up. It's maybe exactly at that point where you think, I can't serve the Lord. I can't do anything for God. The years have passed by. I have squandered away my time. Maybe that's a sore point for some here. And you say, Lord, my time is gone. I have wasted my years in doing other things. What now is left for me? I can't do anything. Oh, friend, never stop there. Because God is the God of the impossible in our minds. And He is able to overcome. And that's exactly where your faith will be challenged. Because the Lord wants us to come in full dependence upon Him. The Lord would say, as He did to Moses, you think you cannot speak, Moses? I am the God who made the tongue. I am able to make you speak, Moses. Trust in me. The Lord who made man's arm, can He not give you strength, Samson? The Creator who made the stars, can He not choose one star to lead you to the very place where Messiah is? The one who made the body, Sarah, is He not able to give you a child even though you've long passed the human possibility? Believer, is God not able to come to you and to meet you at the point of your need? You know, the Lord Jesus made a very similar statement to the rich young ruler, who after that man had said to the Lord, I've given all these things and I've done all these things, I've obeyed all these areas, and the Lord said to him, sell all you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler left the Lord because he had great riches, and his heart was grieved, and he was covetous to those things. But the Lord Jesus went on to say how hard it was, virtually impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And to that point, the disciples were scratching their head and they said, Lord, who then can be saved? If we understand that the Lord has given all things richly to enjoy, and they looked at David and Solomon, the Old Testament characters which had much of this world's goods, and they said, well, is it impossible for a rich man to get into heaven? Jesus said, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And then Jesus said to the disciples when they questioned this, with men, it is impossible. Sarah, for you, it is impossible for you to have a child. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible, the Lord Jesus said. And He, the very one who met Abram, who spoke to Sarah, the God who is able to do that which we think is impossible, is the great God of possibilities. And believer, let us hold on to that in our lives. Bring all of your reasonable doubts to God. and say, Lord, it doesn't make sense to me, but I will submit myself. I cannot see how this is going to work out. Bring all your questions. It may have worked out then, says someone, but it'll not work now. Bring those as well. And in all, answer this. With God, all things are possible because nothing is impossible with Him. We've looked at Sarah's weakened faith and her challenged faith. But notice, please, thirdly, her restored faith. And come to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 11 tells us that Sarah herself received strength to conceive. So sometime between when the messengers had visited and that word and promise was given again, until the time that Abraham and Sarah came together, her faith in the promise of God was restored. And we're thinking here about the restoration of the faith of this woman of God. And here, friend, is great encouragement. Sarah received strength to conceive. The word is power. It's the word dunamis. She received the power to conceive. Where did this power come from? This, my friend, was in relation to her obedience and the faith that God had given to her. She received strength from the Lord. God came in answer to her need. What is important to note here is that Sarah's faith is only mentioned in Hebrews 11, not her doubting, not her questioning. I find that sweet and amusing. I find it comforting. I find how the Lord was just going to highlight here the prominent part and aspect of Sarah's life. And if we were writing this account, I don't know if we would have included Sarah's faith here. We might have just skipped on over. It's okay to talk about Noah and Enoch and Abel, maybe Abraham. But Sarah, maybe not, so we pass over that. But that's not the way the Lord works. And I believe that God has written her into His account here just for you and me today. Because we can see and understand where Sarah was. And it's helpful to us. Because her faith was not left in abeyance. Her faith was restored. And she was given the grace by the Lord Jesus Christ to believe. Because, friend, faith is a gift from God. Faith and strength and power comes from the Lord. And as we are given the power to believe and to obey, this power, it didn't come from Sarah saying, well, I guess I'll believe in God now. I suppose it's time. No, she didn't. She didn't do that. Doubting was of Sarah, but faith and strength was of God. And friend, in this we can see it's all of grace. And it is God's grace upon us today and His strength. When we fail, we will take responsibility for that. But the honor that God enables us to give to Him and our ability to walk in faith, it comes from the Lord Himself. This lesson we must not miss today, friend. Because all spiritual ability, remember what Jesus said, without me you can do nothing? Well, that fits in here just perfectly. In all of our spiritual ability and the blessings of these things, they are gifts from the Lord. Does this mean that we are not accountable for faith and obedience? No, it doesn't. In no way, for God has given His word and all the promises, and we are and commanded to repent and believe the gospel and to walk and live by faith. And so Sarah, when she was presented with that word, and she was under the obligation to believe, and the Lord's Spirit presenting His word enabled her to do just that, as He enables us today to live and to walk, to honor Him through faith and obedience. And Sarah, she did this when she received the word. And she received it sometime between the visitation of the angels and when she was going to conceive, the Lord gave her that power. And so Sarah is included for us. Because she believed the word. What was the word? The word given to Abraham years before that through him all nations of the earth would be blessed. What does this promise mean? It means that through Abraham and Sarah would come Messiah, the deliverer, the redeemer, and Christ would come. And he has come, my friend, and he has gone to the cross. And it is there at the cross where he has borne our sins away. They have been washed away in the precious blood. And today we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. And we have peace with God. And that is the power that we are granted to be able to live for him today. Her faith was restored. And friend, maybe you need to come this very day and say, Lord, I need my faith restored. I need my faith built up again. We would come as the disciples and to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And as they said, Lord, increase our faith. So we say that very thing today. And so for Sarah, her faith ended in victory. Yes, it was weak faith. It was challenged faith. It was restored faith. But it ends in being victorious faith. How? Because we are told in Hebrews 11:11 that she was delivered of a child. And the promise was fulfilled. And ultimately, all of her faith was based upon the word, the promise that God had given. Thomas Manton, the Puritan writer, wrote this, God will turn nature upside down rather than not be as good as His word. His word never exceeded His power. And he means by that whatever word God gives, His power will be able to support that word, that message that He has given. Another commentator, John Trapp, wrote this, It is the nature of faith to believe God upon His bare word. And I interject, that's exactly what our Sunday school course says. Faith is just believing what God says He will do. Faith is based upon God's precious word. And so Tramp says it's the nature of faith to believe God upon His bare word, and that sense corrects imagination. And reason corrects sense, but faith corrects both. Sense corrects imagination, reason corrects sense, but faith corrects both because faith is based on something outside ourselves. It's not on my reasoning. It's not on my accounting. It's upon the word that God has given. And Sarah judged God faithful, who had made the promise. She believed God, and it was counted to her for righteousness. Friends, she looked to the cross. She looked to the coming Messiah because she knew that the child born to her was the fulfillment in the stepping stones that were going to lead toward the coming of Christ, the Savior of the world, Sarah's Savior. Yes, all these things, the picture came crystal clear to her, and Sarah rejoiced in her victorious faith. And that's why she's recorded here, a woman of God, a woman of faith, and someone that you and I can relate to today. Because we have all gone through these stages of our weakness, of our restoration. We've all gone through the times of our faith being challenged. Ah, but friend, today rest in this, that our faith is victorious in Christ, and it will rest in Him, not only for time, but until we come to see Him, because then we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Believer, rejoice today. Bring your impossibilities to God and rest in Him there. Let's bow, please, in prayer. In just a moment, our service will be closed. Friend, you may be here today and you're not a believer. You're not a Christian. I don't know your heart, but you do, and the Lord does. And you need to call on Him right now, confessing your sin and praying that He would be your Savior. He has said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is God's word, a promise to you today. Call on Him now. If you need any help, if you would like us to read through the Scripture with you and speak to me before you leave today. And believer, don't wait in the quagmire of unbelief and be stuck in that swamp. Rest on the Word of God. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And know that as you look to Him, He will help. He will aid. He will restore. Father, hear our prayer today. Take these words, spoken in weakness, Lord, but yet they can be used, I know, by Thy Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, forgive us for our fainting times. Forgive us for our doubting periods. And Lord, bring us to the place where we abandon all upon Thy Word. Help us to walk in the center of Thy perfect will. Hear our prayers now, for we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.